I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This will be our last show before the holiday. We are off next Saturday, as Ray will be at the holiday store collecting for the Salvation Army. He's still there now, I think, out in Glastonbury, if you want to go by and say hi. But next Saturday, he'll be there through our program as well. So we will be preempted. So if you want to get your questions in, today's a good day. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Net neutrality, my favorite topic. It's the warm and fuzzy feeling of all packets being treated equally. And there it is. It has been repealed that now the big internet companies can manage their packets as they see fit, much to the chagrin of the big content companies like Google, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon. They don't like it because now they may have to pay big internet to get you the stuff you paid for once to stream to you all the time as they rent it to you as well. Right?
Got
to
get my cut of the action.
Exactly. So I am not afraid. I'm going to let the market do its thing. But this article from Network World is an example of the speculation that is going to happen. Tom Henderson for Network World has an article, "The Loss of Net Neutrality. Say Goodbye to a Free and Open Internet." Well, the internet's not free, by the way, but I think he means free as far as some sort of America free type of thing.
Free to squander. I mean wander.
So he has a few predictions he's going to make. What will happen without net neutrality? I want to kind of quickly go through this because I had a conversation with a good buddy of mine who was very, very worried about the loss of net neutrality. So this guy predicts that the lawyers will win. Every conceivable new theory about how one organization will have priority will ensue. Guys, when had the lawyers not ever won? In any situation. The lawyers always win.
Even when they lose, they win.
Exactly.
They still get paid.
Yeah. So this is kind of a silly thing to me. Yes, the lawyers win. Of course they always win. That's why they're lawyers. That's why you help your kid becomes one. They always win. Number two, traffic is allowed to be throttled. Of course, he even says trampled. So what he's saying here now, that in some cases, folks can now say, internet companies can now say, hey, I'm going to charge you more if you're going to dump a bunch of data down my network. Right? So Facebook, right? If you want to stream your Facebook video, and heck, Bob Joyce does a sports thing, right? We can watch Bob do his Facebook video, the sportscast. Awesome, cool. You can also beat up a kid and put that out on Facebook too. So both the good and the bad have the same value with net neutrality. Well, now without net neutrality, Comcast can say to Facebook, "I'm going to throttle that bad stuff, whether you like it or not. I don't mind that." Right? Why? You can't treat all videos equally. Some of them are horrible. Shouldn't you be able to throttle them? And they might charge him for it. Of course, he's predicting we'll all have fourth-class speeds. Well, how's your speed now, guys? Are you happy with what you pay for what you get now? Are you ecstatic about your current net neutrality situation? I bet you're not. He then says, streaming data will dominate. The U.S. is far behind the rest of the top world economies in terms of both commercial and residential connection speeds and accessibility. Then he says, but everyone will want to become a cable company. Exactly my point. They'll want to become an internet provider because you can now charge for your bandwidth. And that'll bring incentivized competition to these systems rather than lack of competition.
Well, that means that might create jobs, might create opportunity. People might be able to make money.
Exactly. So he's saying that, you know, everyone's going to be a cable company. He then even says phone consumption of HD movies is already a controversial in terms of how it has affected the network. When you start streaming episodes of your favorite TV shows in HD, the data costs will climb. Of course they will. Cellular networks were not he admits this. Cellular networks were not designed to deliver millions and millions of concurrent data streams. So bandwidth-hungry apps will cause a rethinking of data plans and what kind of media types will be throttled and in what way. Of course. He admits the cellular network isn't designed to do this, and he admits people are going to have to come up with new ways to approach the market. All good stuff. Innovation. You add in rapid popularity of ultra-high-definition 4K resolution. By the way, guys, if you're watching 4K resolution on your phone, it's no benefit. There's no difference to it.
It's not capable of displaying 4K.
Some are. No, the new iPhone X is. But the point is your eyeball really can't take advantage of it because it's designed for massive screens, not teeny little screens. But if you bring down those data files, they're very big. Here's another big one he brought up. Tor will be a pariah. Peer-to-peer networks such as the Onion Router and Tor are difficult to control, and they eat up available bandwidth. Of course, the cable companies now, and this is actually what started the whole net neutrality debate in the first place. He goes, add the influence of the recording industry of America and the motion picture industry of America, and the Tor network will be demoted to the same fourth-class email, throttled until you can't share anything. Well, he really should have said, throttled until you can't steal anything.
Because the Tor network is used to download copyrighted content, such as first-run movies that are still in the theater.
Right. So this guy is whining about the free and open internet finally making you stop stealing. Again, we have no love for the recording industry or the motion picture industry. However, they should get paid for their work. And the Tor industry is actually, the Tor network is actually making the rest of us pay more when we are legitimately buying it.
They shouldn't get paid for their work. It should be free. They should be slaves to us.
Right. So he actually saying Tor will be a pariah. And this actually started when Comcast throttled the Tor network and were sued. So they throttled the guys who were stealing from everybody else. And the guys who were some, I think it's probably like some third party, like ACLU came up and sued Comcast for you can't throttle those guys. You sure should be able to. Meet it, and then he goes number six here. Meeting an unthrottled control will cost, and it's the death of free Wi-Fi. Okay, so if you're in your coffee shop, they offer you free Wi-Fi. If they have to now pay for the bandwidth used by their customers, they're going to have to make a decision, right? Do they offer free Wi-Fi, or do you just use your own cellular network on your own? There's a huge amount of danger, by the way, when you use free Wi-Fi services. You're warned about it constantly, that people are sitting in the coffee shop next to you trying to hack into your system while you're doing it. So number one, you'll be more secure if you don't use the free Wi-Fi. But even if you do want to use the free Wi-Fi or it wants to be offered, that's a business decision by each company willing to pay for the customer's bandwidth. That if you're going to go stream a movie while you're drinking your coffee, the coffee shop's going to have to pay for it. I'm sorry.
Then it's not free.
It's not free. Then they talk about you're going to want to use Comcast apps because they're cheaper than Microsoft's. Or perhaps Apple's will be offered at a lower cost because of partnering agreements. All good things. Did you just hear all these lower cost comments I just made? Cheaper than Microsoft, yada, yada. These companies now will start working on ways of attracting you to their services by bundling different things that you may want. That's a good thing, right? Again, my buddy was in the restaurant with me, and he was talking about, you know, Eric, this is going to be a problem. I only have one internet choice. I said, no, you don't. You've got Frontier. He goes, no, I'll show it to you. And he started whipping out his phone, and he started trying to look up if he had other services in his area. Now, the funny thing about this was he chose three different internet methods while he was doing this on the phone. First, he tried to use the free Cox service because he's a Cox subscriber on his cell phone for the Wi-Fi. Very poor result. He couldn't get the stream. He couldn't get the surfing to work really well. He was just sitting there hung up. And he goes, well, you know what? Let's try the restaurant's Wi-Fi. That could have been Frontier. Could have been anything, right? So there's his second internet choice to tell me he doesn't have enough choices to find out if he has enough choices. He's now at his second choice. And that was really pretty poor. And then he flipped over to Verizon. So he uses three different choices of internet service to tell me how he couldn't figure out if he had more choices of internet service. We have choices, and we will get more, I hope, if streaming is you pay for your different accesses and deal with packets as they come down. Here's a good example. I brought this up before. Star Trek Discovery. I'm a Trekkie. I would love to watch Star Trek Discovery. It's a new Star Trek series. You got to pay for it by the month. You got to pay $5.99 to $10 a month for one show. The rest of it's just the CBS stuff you can get anytime broadcast. If you're on, let's say now with net neutrality gone, Cox and Comcast say to CBS, well, you know what? We're going to charge you $4 a person to stream that stuff from your system. CBS might say, darn it, my packets are now going to be charged to get to these guys. Maybe I should use my broadcast network and give it to them for free so that then I can broadcast and advertise soap and cars during Star Trek Discovery and everybody's happy. That could be a result, right? If Comcast and those guys actually start charging folks like Apple, Google, Facebook. These guys are Amazon. These guys are billion-trillion-dollar companies that want you and I to subsidize the internet. Well, with that, with net neutrality gone and these internet companies able to now manage their own networks, they could manage them to the point where they invite Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon into producing their own networks. More competition. That's what we want. Please don't be afraid with net neutrality being gone. I promise the world won't come to an end. And if it does come to an end, and I'm completely wrong, and the internet providers completely become some sort of weird, draconian, you know, system where we're all paying triple what we used to, Blumenthal is right there. He's in the wings. He'll make sure that he sues somebody to make sure our internet comes at a fair price. But I ask you now, are you happy with what you have now? I'm not. I pay too much. And even my buddy who is using three different services to tell me he only has one different service, he thinks he pays too much now. So let's see what net neutrality's demise really brings. Let's not be afraid. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got some other folks who want to talk about net neutrality. Got some questions on the line. Rich, Steve, and Paul, hang on. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online if you'd like to talk about net neutrality or if you want to have any kind of computer comment question and concern. We had Paul on the line from Litchfield, and he went away. But I'd love to chat about it because I really think the market really needs to prevail here. Technology needs to be allowed to disrupt. And I would contend the net neutrality rules were put in place to fix a problem that didn't exist. Nobody was having any issues. Nobody was, except for the Tor network, which was throttled. They were the ones that were upset by Comcast for blocking access to being able to steal movies.
Well, somebody was using the Tor network to get free movies,
right,
and not paying for it,
right.
And they had enough influence to be able to sue and get this done through Congress. I think.
You think that the Steelers won it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was funded by people that said, hey, if I want to watch Star Wars and not go to the theater, I should be able to stream it into my own house through the Tor network.
I guess. I just want to share it. I'm not sure I believe you there, Bob, but I think it is it's an issue, and we should be allowed to block
the last Star Wars movie that came out. I actually had an opportunity to watch it, and I refused.
Because before it had come out on the theaters.
It was out that same week in the theaters.
Yeah.
And that was over the Tor network.
Exactly.
I said, this is wrong. And so then I never used the Tor network again.
We all agreed Napster was wrong. You know, I mean, same idea, guys. All right, let's go to your calls. You've been nice enough to hang on and hear my rant about net neutrality. We'll all survive, I promise. Let's go to Rich in Glastonbury. Hey, Rich.
Good morning.
Hey.
I have a Hewlett Packard 8050 PhotoSmart printer.
Yeah.
But I haven't used for maybe a year or more. I went to use it, and I get very little printing, almost like a ghost printing.
Yeah, it's inkjet, right?
I tried to clean the, you know, with the machine says clean the printhead, but it didn't work. Now, I wonder if there's some way I can actually manually clean the printhead to bring those cartridges back to life.
Possibly. You got to be very careful.
There's two things with these inkjet cartridges. Okay, I've cleaned them many times myself, and what I do is I take a damp tissue, very fine tissue, mm-hmm. and I wipe the ink off the outside that builds up, because when you put clean, it doesn't really clean. It does waste ink.
Yeah, it just tries to squirt it as hard
as it can. It tries to squirt it out, and it actually builds up more.
Yeah.
So then you clean it. But the problem is that if you don't print very often, that ink will actually dry out inside the cartridge.
Right.
So you may need to actually replace the cartridge. Now, the problem is if too much ink has leaked out, the printer will actually not work right anymore.
Right, because it'll be gummed up itself.
So you'll be spending a lot of money on inkjet cartridges that aren't going to work.
Yeah, just to try it.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I have another question on this DNS. Some time ago, I tried to do that.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I have a Frontier modem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to some point where I had to make some decision, and I don't remember now exactly what it was, but I think I heard you say if you had Frontier, you can't use this DNS or it's not effective.
Oh, no. You can use OpenDNS in any internet provider. You just may not be able to manipulate the Frontier device. You'll have to put it in each of your workstations. Individually, you're just going to tell your computers to use the OpenDNS DNS addresses. So you can use it in any service, period. Any and all.
Oh, okay.
But you may not be able to manipulate the Frontier hardware. The beauty of being able to manipulate your router that hands out IP addresses is that anybody then who enters your network with their device and uses your Wi-Fi will also be protected by default.
Okay.
But in your case, if you can't manipulate that device, go ahead and just configure it on the workstation.
Right. Okay. That's okay. I didn't realize that. I didn't think it was going to be effective. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be very effective.
All right. I'm going to make another attempt then.
All right, Rich.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Yeah, very important to use OpenDNS. Much safer way to surf. Paul wants to – he's back here from Litchfield, wants to chat about net neutrality. Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head.
Hello? Hey, Paul, you there?
The internet's been around since Al Gore invented it back in the Stone Age.
Right.
And we never had an issue.
Correct.
2 years ago, Congress, in its infinite wisdom and meddling, oh, by the way, I must state for the record, I'm a libertarian.
Yes, okay, it's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Congress, in its infinite wisdom, decided that this was one more area of our lives they needed to stick their nose into.
Right.
My question, you already asked this. It worked fine for over 20 years. You know, the internet worked fine for 20 years.
Right.
Why suddenly do we need net neutrality? And, I mean, I've asked this of people that are absolutely, you know, well, I think it has a lot to do with they hate Donald Trump to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and Republicans and conservatives. But it's like, well, if the internet worked fine for 20 years, how did net neutrality improve my life?
Right. And it didn't.
And it didn't.
Right. It didn't do anything to improve your life. I think it was a solution to a problem that didn't exist. It is warm and fuzzy, and it does sound like a nice cause, net neutrality, right?
Right.
Everyone,
exactly.
It's bizarre because basically they're defending big content. I mean, you've heard of big oil, big education,
mm-hmm.
big whatever. Big content are the ones that will be harmed the most by removal of net neutrality. They're the ones that are going to finally have to pay to get to Paul.
Exactly.
Right? Now, if you look at it even in the NFL, right, I try to use as many examples as I can to kind of equate it to reality. I'm trying to help you guys understand what my approach is to this. But look at the NFL. Can you watch Monday Night Football without ESPN? You can't.
You can if you go to the stadium.
Well, I'm just saying on TV.
Exactly.
But,
yeah, no,
so you don't have NFL neutrality.
Right.
So somehow
you don't have the NFL network.
Well, right. You don't have that network. You have to pay to see it. And the reason you have to pay to see it is because ESPN or somebody paid the NFL billions of dollars to get access to that football game. And the reason they did that was so that 350-pound men voluntarily want to run their heads into each other all night long for our entertainment. Without that whole market concept, NFL doesn't exist. Right? You got to pay for your content. I'm sorry. or the product doesn't exist anymore. So big Google, big Facebook, big Apple, big Amazon. Good luck, big content. You're going to have to pay the internet providers, and I'm not going to cry for you. So we'll see what happens. I think we're going to get a better result. That's just me, Paul. I got to go.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
You too. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, get back to more of your calls. Steve, Gary, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Here, and one line open for you. Feel free to get online. And we'll do our best to help you out with your questions and concerns. One of the other items in this article from Network World, where the guy is calling the end of the world because net neutrality is gone, metering will cause nightmares and litigation. Let's say you're now metered. I can't believe you're metered now because net neutrality is in place. Well, it was before I wrote the article, but he's saying now. Let's say you're now metered, but some services are supposedly free, coming from those bundles we talked about. Great. What if, as has happened to him recently, Evernote is a little app, like a note-taking app, no longer syncs to the cloud, and you have to rebuild everything, meaning a forced upload back to the cloud. Will the upload go third class? Will Evernote pay a fraction of your bill to prioritize the service? Or will you just be screwed because there's an Evernote or OneCloud or iCloud or Dropbox sync hiccup? This is an issue, right? Now, when Evernote screws up their software and it forces a re-upload, it's just Comcast and Cox and Frontier and Verizon and taking it on the chin, where they have to have you re-upload your stuff again to the cloud. Now Comcast and those guys can say, hey, you want to re-sync your stuff, we're going to charge you to do that because you're going to consume bandwidth to sync it again and sync it again because they have a hiccup. So what will happen, guys, is the cloud folks might rethink their model a little bit. Now that you're going to be paying for the music and then paying to download it over and over and over again, both in megabits and in bandwidth, if anything changes, the cloud's going to have to say to itself, well, what are we doing here? Maybe the folks should just have their stuff on their device.
So maybe I can just get myself a little NAS, set up my own private cloud.
And keep it local.
Download it, keep it local, and I don't have to pay the bandwidth charges. Hey!
Right. That'd be a great, right, that's the innovation. So he's whining that, you know, is Evernote going to pay his freight? Evernote doesn't even charge you for the app. They just charge you you're the commodity over there with Evernote. They want to know what you're interested in. So let's go to Todd in Manchester. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. This has been a very hot topic at my work, and I've been trying to follow this, and I'm not a techie.
Right.
But one of the gentlemen I work with, he calls himself a techie, and sometimes I wonder. But I worry about it. My worry with it, and going off of your metering, is with the FCC getting their claws into it and making it a utility, then they're going to be able to tax it in any way they want. Tax it by the megabyte, the bit, the gigabyte, however they want to do it.
That's what it was before.
That's what I really worry about with the neutrality, was the cloak and dagger, you know, the cover up and this and that.
Right. That was what it was before, Todd. They changed its taxing structure. That was one of the rules for net neutrality. They brought it from like a class one thing to a class two utility, which did change how it was taxed. That was part of their sneaky approach to getting net neutrality in there. Yes, you were correct. That's been repealed.
His argument has been that when Netflix started doing streaming live video, Cox went after started blocking Netflix, and that's what caused the quote-unquote net neutrality to coming up.
Mm.
Is there any bit of evidence behind that? Because I can't understand how Netflix would, be the only one that they would want to slow down.
Right.
If
so
they were truly doing it.
Yeah. Great point. So what? Yes, there were stories of Netflix complaining of poor performance by their cloud stream, right? They were whining that, you know, hey, even though Netflix themselves were paying for priority service on the tier one networks, they were still seeing that people were whining about the poor performance of buffering on the networks, and they were accusing Comcast and other providers of throttling or slowing down their bandwidth. But again, the Netflix wants to push a Mack truck worth of data down your country road of an internet connection, right? And so in order for that to work, Netflix really has to have a priority packet that they have to pay for so that you get a good result, if streaming is the solution. I like to stream videos, but I could wait a minute while it buffered. I could go and kick off that I want to watch on Netflix for a little bit and let it build up over a period of time so that then I don't have any streaming issue. It's all based on the device it's streaming to, right? So there's...
What about this so-called tax that they were supposedly, or whatever, you subsidized for running fiber optics around the country? One of the companies was entitled or, you know, given that task. I think it was Verizon or Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposedly still being mothballed. That's why you can't get the fiber optic speed, you know, absolutely everywhere. But supposedly, according to him, this network of fiber optics is now coast-to-coast. It's now not being used.
Well, see, that's kind of weird and silly. So we've had Whip City Fiber here out of Westfield, Mass., talk about their municipal fiber network that they put in, where they're getting their folks gigabit speeds for 60 – sorry, yeah, 1 gigabit speed for $65 a month. In East Hartford, we are looking at getting municipal fiber from a company called Sci-Fi, where they do micro-trenching, or they do work on the poles. The municipality has access to a foot on the poles. You want to know who's trying to block that? The Frontier Union folks who work on the poles. They don't want the competition against Frontier. They're worried about their cheese getting moved. Again, it's their right to. They want to protect their mother, the golden goose. But the networks are, if you produce a competitive environment, we'll have more choice. But if you read the article in the Hartford Business Journal, it talks about, I was surprised to hear it. I thought it was the evil Comcast, Cox, Frontier folks who are against municipal broadband. No, it was also the union guys that are in the Frontier Union. There's like 2,300 of them who are against it too. And they're fighting to have the additional competition in there. So it's not some sort of net neutrality thing. It's just everybody's trying to protect their cheese.
Gotcha.
check it out.
It's definitely going to be something to watch. I mean, I know I'm going to be watching it because, you know, my son, one of the school teachers for my son has made comments that, you know, he's going to have to start paying for, you know, to go on Instagram and your Snapchat, Facebook, because, you know, these companies are going to have to provide, you know, charge. Or they're going to have to pay a service to be on the network, and then they're going to have to pass it along to their customers.
Are they?
And I
don't know.
They're not.
Right? Because it's all free now, right, Todd? So the reason it's free is because your son's the commodity, right? Snapchat and those guys are selling them something. Either it's going to be advertising or whatever as to why they're free now. So just because Snapchat and those guys have to pay, they don't have to pass it on to you. Apple's a trillion-dollar company. They're worried about getting their iTunes to you. If they got to pay Comcast, they may or may not pass it on to you. It's up to their model to keep you happy. I would contend Apple will pass it on to you, but Google won't.
That was my argument back with my well, not my argument, but my thought back to my son was, wait a second. You know, I can listen to TIC. I can listen to my radio station.
Right.
You know, I don't have to pay anything for my radio. But when the FCC changes the rules regarding licensing and stuff like that, or, you know, you renew your license and there's a different fee or a different tax,
right?
You know, TIC has to cover that cost.
Right.
And what they do is, being that they're the, you know, flamethrower, real popular radio station, including your show,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have advertisers that want to be on your show because now being a, you know, a 40-something, almost 50-something, a gentleman myself,
yeah.
You know, I'm the guy who's going to be, oh, yeah, I do need new windows, or I do need this, or I do need that. And that's sometimes how you find, you know,
right.
You know, so I think, like you said, you know, Snapchat and Netflix and all of them are going to go more towards the advertising because you'd rather collect the big advertising cost than try to, you know, milk your customers.
Yeah,
you know?
So a kid whining about not getting access to Snapchat really is a pretty odd thing to say. You know, Snapchat's going to consume a bunch of bandwidth. Have you seen the Snapchat feeds? I've watched my kid use it. It's kooky crazy. They're just active.
No, I never watched the feed. I don't know it.
Sit next to your kid and watch him do it. Watch him Snapchat. And you're going to say to yourself, yeah, they should be charging you for that thing because it's garbage. You know, it's silly. The reason it works right now is because you and I are subsidizing their bandwidth habit. The moment it becomes a cost, the things that really have value will stick. The ones that don't, won't. Right?
I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Right now,
it's... told me, if they start charging you for a Snapchat, I'm not paying your subscription. You're 13 years old. You know, if you're having fun with your friends doing this and that, that's fine. You know, as long as they're your friends and you're not, you know, the one rule I told them about Snapchat and Facebook and those things, if I physically can't touch the person at the end of my workday, you know, let's go visit this person. You shouldn't be friends with them online.
Yeah, right. So you keep them in your scope.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my only rule there. So, yeah.
Facebook's a billion-dollar company. They want to get you. They want to get access to your eyeballs. Well, if it starts to cost you a lot of money to look at Facebook, and they themselves just came out with a recent study that says watching Facebook makes you sadder than if you don't interact with it. It's actually making people sad. Facebook themselves said that. The moment you have to pay for Facebook, maybe you decide, you know what? They're a billion-dollar company. They're already making money off you already. So either they're going to pay for your subscription, your internet broadband, or you're going to pay for it, and maybe that whole model will change. And maybe we won't have as many, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever they might be. Maybe only one or two will come out as being valuable rather than 18 of them. Or they'll all pay. I don't care. If they all think they're valuable and we all want to pay for their social media, fine. And again, the internet providers may not do anything. They didn't do anything before net neutrality, except for maybe block the Tor network, which was giving people access to movies for free. That was illegal usage, and that was what really started you can look it up. That was one of the things that started this whole process when Comcast throttled Tor. They said you can't be downloading Star Wars on our network and not be slowed down. You're affecting everybody else's legitimate use of the network. Right.
So it's like the Fire Sticks or what's the other one? The
Chromecast.
They're the Amazon. Like they sell an Amazon Fire Stick.
Yeah.
And they sell them on Craigslist and on eBay.
Yeah.
My son wanted to get one of these things with they're jailbroken flat out. So that's the system or the network that they download from. Is the Tor network, I'm assuming?
They could be jailbroken, but you can download all sorts of apps that are just going to leverage the Tor network without being jailbroken of any kind. There's all sorts of apps out there that let you steal.
Gotcha.
So that's the problem. I mean, the funny thing about what you just brought up, Amazon and Google are fighting right now about letting YouTube sit on their devices. Now, this has nothing to do with net neutrality, but Amazon's saying, you know, Google, you can't put your YouTube on our Fire Stick because you won't do this for us, or vice versa. You know, these companies already fight with each other about access to markets. Why is it not fair for the internet companies to be part of that fight too? To produce a better market, I'm hoping. Could it be screwed up? The moment we pick winners and losers, yes, of course, the government will screw it all up. But if we leave it wide open and let the chips fall where they may, the internet's been working for so long since Al Gore invented it. Right?
Yep. Yep.
What have we come from? When I got on the internet, when I started with the internet, I was at 2400 baud on a phone line, and nobody could make a call to my house. That's when I was on the internet in the 90s, and it first kind of came out.
Well, yes, I was too. I had my AOL subscription, and yeah.
There was no internet. You had to dial into a bulletin board.
Well, that was the internet, right? And nobody could make a phone call to your house, right? I had five people in my family, and I'm tying up the cell phone.
I got
the phone
a second
line.
I paid extra money.
Oh, gee.
Yep.
Oh, it should have been free.
It should have been free. Yeah, it should have been free, right, Todd? You should have had, yep. You know, that's what they want to do here is try to allow big content, free access to you. And I think they're going to have to pay. It's fine with me.
Well, I definitely do. What I'm just worried about is the FCC getting their hands into, taxing it into, to make it unaffordable for everybody, or
you know,
just finding another way of a revenue stream, which is unfortunate because
that was the main reason for net neutrality too. So that is the other underlying reason that net neutrality went in there is they changed how it would be looked at. It was looked at as a utility rather than how it was looked at before, which was not as a utility, which gave them some sort of taxing ability.
Was that in the legislation or in the bill that it was there? Because, like I said, that was what I told the gentleman I talked with, and he basically told me I was full of horse hockey. And,
no, you know, you're right. The net neutrality rule did change that and did change how the government looked at it for taxing reasons. So you're correct. Generally, I don't have that off the top of my head as far as that information. I can look it up for you, but they changed it when they put net neutrality in, and that was one of the big key power grabs to change how the internet worked.
Yeah, I think that type of information gets out to more people. They'll understand what this really was all about.
I'm sorry, they won't. They won't. They just hear net neutrality. It sounds warm and fuzzy. It must be good, and that's why it's packaged that way.
Exactly. So just like Obamacare was packaged, you know, you can keep your doctors, you can save your money, and blah, 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 blah.
Right, and I have no allegiance to any big broadband companies. I hate them all, too. I want the lowest cost, fastest product that I pay for what I use. That's what I want. Don't make me subsidize Todd's kid's Snapchat usage. Let me pay what I pay, and Todd, you pay whatever you want to pay based on your usage. Right now, we're subsidizing each other, and we're subsidizing big content. And it's all not good. We're not even happy with what we have.
Boy, that's one of my complaints about computers. I mean, the last computer I actually bought a while ago, I called in on this. I bought it from the big box store, and it was loaded with all these preloaded eBay and Amazon and all this stuff. And it was like, you know, I thought I was buying a laptop that had some speed to it, and it was just bogged down. And I called in, and you guys like, yeah, you got to remove all those preloaded.
Right.
You know, and, you know, being not a techie guy, I mean, how am I supposed to know this stuff? You know, it's like, you know,
right. They
get you one way or another. It's just unfortunate.
They do. They do get you one way or another. If you agree with that premise, let's see if we can get you with more individualized getches rather than subsidized getches. That's my let the free market deal with the getches. That's my point.
Yeah, well, I would like more, and I know you had made a comment about this. I would like more internet access myself. I can only get Comcast or Frontier in Manchester to my home. Yes,
right.
On my cell phone, I can bring up another service, or you can bring up another service if you're out of town.
Right.
But why can't they open up, like, the cable company to say, you know, okay, not just Cox in Manchester. Why can't, you know, Comcast or Verizon or, you know,
so Todd,
also deliver?
You're right. You're right there. But your comment was, why can't they? I hear that even in my town. Why can't they bring a Barnes & Noble to our town? Why can't they bring this type of industry to our town? They have nothing to do with it. It has to do with the market. So if for some...
Well, I was under the impression that, and this is what I was, the answer I was given, that they're given territorial rights.
That is true.
And that
is true.
You can't cross lines like in Bolton, there's a different internet provider,
yes.
Cable provider.
That is true.
And
yes.
So if the government's going to sit here and basically pick and choose who's going to be able to sell me cable in Manchester, isn't that them picking a winner and a loser?
It is. You're exactly right. So that is a problem there, too. But I would contend if they start charging per megabit, others are going to come in and fight to be part of that market. Right now, it's a big, difficult fight. But if there's a lot of money there to be made where they can offer a cheaper service, or Google can come in, or Apple can come in and say, I'm going to put my network in here. I'm a trillion-dollar company. I'm going to push Comcast around or push Cox around. Then we can see some fights where you might get some options. Yes, our legislators really should change that model. It should be changed a long time ago. That is part of our problem, yes. But I contend that this might help increase competition. It certainly can't decrease it.
I'm all for the competition. I mean, you know, back in the day, if you looked at, you know, car manufacturing, there was no, you know, regulating all sorts of stuff. Good cars, affordable cars, reliable cars made it.
Right.
How many car companies, you know, didn't make it in the United States, you know?
Right.
Got absorbed up by Ford and GM and whoever, you know?
Yeah, the
just
market.
The way it is.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. So, Todd, we'll see what happens with net neutrality, and I hope that helps you understand it a little bit. Tell him not to be afraid, and tell your kid you may have to pay for Snapchat. And you might ask him if it would cost him $10 a month. Would he find it worth it? I bet you he wouldn't.
Well, you know, like I did say to him, I did say that, you know, he is only allotted, you know, so much expenditures a month.
Right.
With the amount of chores he does. If he wants more expenditures, he's going to have to be doing smart choice.
There you go. They're the market at work, Todd. Now you're going to get your lawn mowed, too. All right, Todd, I got to go.
Exactly. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Yep. Good luck. You too. We'll see what happens. Net neutrality. Don't be afraid. We'll be back. Steve, Gary, Janine, hang on. This is Computer Talk.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.